This is the Superhuman Show. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, it's a brand new week and a brand new lineup of shows. Today's show is being brought to you by Primordial Performance. Primordial Performance is a sponsor of ours, and they're running their annual summer sale. Everything at primordialperformance.com is up to 40% off. Go check it out. Stock up today at primordialperformance.com. You know, Hippocrates said, "Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food." And modern medicine has pretty much ignored that edict completely today. In most cases, if you have some sort of a disease and you talk to your doctor, he doesn't tell you anything about nutrition. In fact, if you suggest nutrition, a lot of times they'll just wave their hand and dismiss it and tell you that it has nothing to do with this. It's not going to change the outcome, blah, blah, blah. And that's a bald-faced lie. In fact, I would go on record as saying, if not every pharmaceutical drug, almost every pharmaceutical drug finds its genesis in some natural plant or organic form that is in existence in nature. And when they find it, they counterfeit. They counterfeit it by synthesizing it. So then they can patent it and sell it. So they basically are taking the real thing and counterfeiting it. And that's how medications are made. My guest today is one of the authors of Ancient Wisdom, Modern Kitchen. And what they attempt to do is they attempt to blend this concept that food is medicine back into the social awareness. My guest today is Warren Shear. How you doing, Warren?
Great. How are you?
Great, great. Very good. First of all, what made you guys – now, there's three of you that authored this book, so let's give everybody some fair billing here. You have – I'm pronouncing it Yan Wang, correct?
Yuan Wang.
Okay, Yan Wang. And Mika Ono?
Exactly.
And yourself authored this book. Why? Why did you guys do this book?
Well, you know, basically, we're all, I mean, Yuan and I are both acupuncturists and herbalists, and one of the most frequently heard questions we hear in the clinic is, what should I eat? And or, you know, conversely, what should I not eat, right? And so we wrote the book, Ancient Wisdom, Modern Kitchen, to answer that question. You know, what should I eat? What should I eat? Not just to treat whatever their problem is, but to support their health so they can avoid going to the doctor, which is a big thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I say on this show quite often, and I have to believe that you'll agree with what I'm about to say, that we have to start practicing health history and nutritional history. We have to start looking back generations and seeing what worked, what diseases they had. And we have to start getting something from that and bringing it and overlaying it what we're doing today, because we're doing a lot of things wrong. Would you agree with that statement?
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. We need to – I mean, my big thing is taking that information and then really using it to avoid the medical system here, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so before we start talking about the book, tell me, if you can, some stories about some profound – redirections in health that people that you've worked with have experienced once they started to focus on nutrition as a form of medicine.
Well, I mean, I could speak to a very good friend of mine who was in his 50s and really was pre-diabetic and was read the Riot Act around his diet and became incredibly proactive, shifted his diet, and the next thing you know, he's like running half marathons, dropped 50 pounds, and his blood sugar levels are normalized. And this is someone I've known for 30
years. For the people who are tuning into my show for the first time because they knew that Warren was going to be on it, I want to tell a really brief story about nutrition and disease that is even more profound. And that is why I feel so strongly about this book. My brother-in-law had developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and had a 2.5-centimeter mass in his stomach. And the short story is, he was completely cured in 6 weeks, avoided chemotherapy, by using large doses of ginger extract that was standardized for a minimum of 5% gingerols. Now, that's the fast story. That's how that but that is accurate. He actually had the port put in, and he was all prepared for chemotherapy. And we tried this ginger extract, and in 6 weeks, when he went back for his CT scan, they couldn't find anything. The cancer that was in the lymph nodes was gone, and the mass in his stomach was completely gone. So anybody out there who even remotely doubts that nutrition can actually cure diseases, I hope that you get something from that story. Okay, so let's talk about a couple things. What kind of natural ingredients are we talking about in this cookbook? Anything that would be foreign to us or sound odd?
Well, I mean, some of the herbal substances are a little foreign, but for instance, like goji berries. You know, have you heard of goji berries?
Yeah, that's very popular right now. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're really popular right now, and then pretty easy to find in most health food stores. Some of the herbs need to be found in Chinese herbal stores. But most of the foods are things like ginger, as you mentioned, or garlic, or ginseng, or peppermint.
Let's segue to garlic just for a second. I go through periods of time in my life where I mainline garlic. I put a little olive oil in it, put it in the oven, roast it until it just turns into mush and eat it like that. But when I start doing that, the garlic exudes from my pores. Is that too much garlic when you can start smelling it coming out of your skin?
Well, I don't know how much is too much, but
okay.
Maybe socially too much, but not otherwise. There's lots of research done into garlic, both for its maybe immune enhancing function, but also for preventing hardening of the arteries. So
really,
maybe that's worth going through the body odor. I don't know.
And you know what? If you meet somebody and they really like you, and they like you through the haze of garlic smell, then you know you got somebody who's really interested in you.
Love me, love my garlic, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. How about some of these ingredients? Am I pronouncing this right? Dang Quai? Is that how you pronounce
Dangui.
It? Dangui.
Dangui?
Okay.
Yeah.
What is that used for?
Well, that's probably the number one Chinese women's herb. This is for things like dysmenorrhea, amenorrhea, a lot of women's gynecological problems. It's the number one herb and has been for centuries for women. Not as much for men, although sometimes maybe for men more for like to treat pain or inflammation.
Okay, and even something as ubiquitous as walnuts, you guys have in this book, huh?
Longevity herb. Yeah, yeah. I mean, walnuts are in Chinese medicine a longevity herb. You know, good for what we call the yang energy, this sort of male energy.
Right.
Helping to for long life, essentially.
You know what's interesting about walnuts? About 3 years ago, I read a study that showed that eating a handful of walnuts right after eating a high inflammatory meal, which in this case was corn-fed beef, because we know that corn-fed beef as opposed to grass-fed beef, corn-fed beef has a higher omega-6 to omega-3 ratio, so it's pro-inflammatory. And when you ate a handful of walnuts right after eating conventionally produced beef, it reduced the inflammatory markers by like 90%. And that's because people may not be aware of this, but walnuts have very, very small but significant amounts of melatonin in them. And melatonin is a very, very powerful antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. In fact, it's one of the few that can actually pass the blood-brain barrier. So I think I attributed the anti-inflammatory effects of walnuts to that when I read that study. While they didn't point at that, that's what I came up with anyway. But then again, I'm not accredited, so I can say anything I want, and no one can take my license away.
Right. The Chinese use walnuts actually for everything from asthma to increasing sexual potency in men.
Really?
So yeah. So it's interesting herb.
How about cinnamon? Cinnamon's very popular nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, cinnamon has been a major Chinese herb for thousands of years, and considered very warming, good for circulation. It's being researched now for its ability to regulate blood sugar levels.
That's right. It's actually an insulin. It's considered an insulin mimetic. It acts just like insulin once it gets inside you. It shuttles glucose out of the bloodstream.
Right.
That's why it's very good to take right after a meal for people who are pre-diabetic. They can take a little bit of cinnamon, either right before or right after a high-carb meal, and that actually reduces the load on their pancreas.
Huh. I mean, I not for that reason. I take cinnamon every day.
Yeah. It tastes good, too.
Right.
It's spicy and too large of an amount. I'll tell you something. You'll regret it if you take too much.
Right.
I've learned that the hard way. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Warren Shear about his new book, Ancient Wisdom, I'm sorry, Modern Kitchen. Hey, that's a tongue twister. Ancient Wisdom, Modern Kitchen. Say that 3 times fast during the break. We'll be right back. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to steroiddefenselawyers.com. That's steroiddefenselawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I just want to remind everybody, you can get a free sample of Attack. Attack is a pre-workout supplement that does not have any stimulants in it whatsoever. And that's compliments of Orbit Nutrition and Brutal Alchemy. Go to superhumanradio.com and get your free trial sample of Attack pre-workout. And also, when you shop at Orbit Nutrition, remember to use the coupon code SHR10, that's SHR10, to get an additional 10% off. They're already low, low prices. Visit orbitnutrition.com. My guest today is Warren Shear. We're talking about a recently published book, Ancient Wisdom, Modern Kitchen. Warren, why do you think it is that people have such a hard time getting their minds around the idea that food can actually cure disease?
That's a good question. I think part of it is just the powers that be, corporate America, food industries, et cetera, really want us to think exactly the opposite.
Because they want us to be dependent on pharmaceutical drugs?
On drugs and also on just really not particularly healthful foods.
Yeah.
Both.
The thing that I find staggering is, you know, when people think about pharmaceutical drugs, they almost see them magically, you know, like, oh, this is something that cures disease. It's going to make my woes go away. All of that disease and those woes were caused by wrong food choices that accumulated year after year after year. I just am startled when you tell people, look, you know, I mean, I remember every time I've ever told anybody who's diabetic that's on maybe glucophage or something like that, that they could be completely, I mean, assuming they're type 2 diabetics, they can be completely medication free in 6 months. They can be diabetes free in 6 months. And you would think that they would jump up and down and go, show me the way. They look at you and they go, really? And inside them, you can see it in their face. They're really saying, but I like eating the crap I eat, and I don't want to change.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost really, and it may even be an addiction, much like a chemical addiction, something like, you know, cocaine.
That's a really good point, because if you know it's bad for you, I remember I took a psychology class where they talked about addiction and to drugs and substances and so on, and that once it starts to interfere with your life, once you start to making risky decisions and so on, that now you are an addict. And so theoretically, if you're eating a food that you know is going to cause you to develop diabetes in 2, 3, 4 years, or living a lifestyle, then you are an addict, I guess. You know what? You may have really hit on something there, Warren.
I mean, it is. It's literally, if you look at it objectively, it's insane, and or it's addictive behavior. Actually, Mika Onar, one of my co-authors, actually, she wrote a press release. There was some research done where she works at the Scripps Research Institute here in La Jolla, California, and they took lab rats and fed them junk food. I think this was last year, and trying to get them off the junk food, these lab rats would literally go through electroshock therapy to continue eating the junk food. So then the researchers actually, what the conclusion was, is that this is an addiction much like cocaine. And so we know that rats can be addicted to junk food, and I think really humans.
Now, when we talk about junk food, are we talking about like predominantly sweets? Are we talking about, or what are we talking about?
I think it was sweets and unhealthy fats, just grease, basically. You know, like donuts.
Oh yeah, I mean, because sweets I can see being addicted to. I really believe that sweets, the flavor on our tongue triggers something that is prehistoric in us.
Yes.
Because and proof of this is that certain artificial sweeteners will stimulate insulin production even though there are no carbohydrates riding along with them, just because of what happens at your tongue. Your brain goes, sugar's coming, guys, let's get busy.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
So that shows that there's a psychological reaction to sweetness.
Yes. And a physiological reaction.
Well, yeah.
Corresponds to the psychological reaction. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. How medicinal are the recipes in the book? I mean, when we talk about curing disease, I mean, obviously there's some diseases that require emergency, you know, responses with drugs that, you know, to arrest the disease while we try to cure it. But what are we talking about when we talk about medicinal recipes here?
Well, I mean, very few of the recipes in this book are medicinal in the sense of tasting bad. But most of them, I would say, support and maintain health. Some of them are medicinal in an adjunct way. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, necessarily just expect the recipe itself to cure you of your disease or whatever. They're all medicinal. It's just a matter of, I would say, mildly medicinal with the more of a cumulative effect.
Do you have a favorite dish in the book?
My favorite dish is actually, it's Mika's father's dish. It's called mizutake. It's a Japanese hot pot, and it's very easy to make. I put organic chicken in there and sea vegetables, shiitake mushrooms, things like this. Very easy to make, just, you know, hot water. you know, your ingredients, and boom, boom, you know, within like a half an hour, everything's done.
Yeah, I love that. That's fantastic. How important are organics, you think, to people?
Well, I mean, you brought up the organic earlier, and to me, it's very important. I mean, this is, you know, aside from your fatty acid ratio, I mean, there's the pesticides, the hormones, right? Antibiotics. It's like, you know, there's a litany of
yeah. Now organophosphates we have to worry about that are on vegetables
right.
Now.
Like, you know, it's like, why even go there? You know, just you're much better off just buying organic, in my opinion.
I know that a lot of produce manufacturers, you know, they rail against any type of media attention to the organic side of produce. Anytime someone says something good about produce, they fight back and they want an apology. They want people to understand that, hey, produce is produce. Organic is not better than conventionally grown. But that's just not true. There's a lot of evidence that organic produce, that it's allowed to grow under the sustain life under the conditions that it's grown in without pesticides or any types of special interventions, nutritional and so on. Just they become stronger and more robust, and as a result, they have a greater nutrient value. And the conventional growers hate when you say that. They're like, no, that's not true. You know, it's not true. They rail against that.
Right. I mean, they have a vested interest in the status quo and people not being educated. As vested economic interest. I mean, this is threatening to them. So of course they're just going to say it's not true.
You know, it always amazes me because there's an old email going around the internet again from 2003 about Monsanto and Oakdale Farms, I think it was, they were the ones that advertised, they were first advertising that there was no RBSTs in their milk and stuff like that. And then Monsanto took them to court, and then they ended up losing, and Monsanto ended up selling that RBST division off to some other company. Because they realized that the people didn't want the RBST. It didn't matter. And, you know, I love, because the government always cries they want transparency. You know, the FDA always says to companies that it regulates, well, we need transparency. We need to be able to look into you and see exactly what you're doing. But I think the interesting thing is when the shoe's on the other foot, when the FDA is protecting companies that manufacture Frankenfood, they're not willing to give us transparency. They're not willing. Like, we don't know what's GMO anymore. It's not labeled. There was supposed to be a label for GMO, but then the produce guys went to bat and they lobbied and they said, hey, you know, it's going to cause an unnecessary, anxiety in the public. And let's just not tell them what's GMO and what's not.
Right.
I don't see transparency. I don't see transparency being reciprocal. I'd like to see more reciprocity and transparency.
Yeah. And I would too. I mean, I personally think the FDA is a great idea on paper, but when they're in bed with industry the way that they are, this is obviously not good.
Well, you know, but you know what, Frank? I have an old saying. I've been in business for many years, and so I have an old saying. Your clients are the ones that you talk to day in and day out. Have you ever gotten a call from the FDA?
No.
And neither have I, and they're supposed to be I'm supposed to be their client, the public.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true.
But I know that they talk to the pharmaceutical companies and the food manufacturers every single day.
Yeah,
that's
lobby,
who their clients are.
Yeah,
that's who their clients are. There's no doubt about it. All right, so let's get back to some of these ingredients that we were talking about earlier. What is, I'm going to try to pronounce this, Fritillaria?
Fritillaria, yeah. This is Fritillaria in English. In Chinese, this is a tuan bei mu, and it's an herb. It's grown in Sichuan province and also in Nepal, and basically it's an herb that we use largely for dryness in the lung, but it's also been used against breast and lung cancer. So it's thought to help treat these tumors.
Now, when you say that,
it's a really good tasting herb. I mean, interestingly enough, it's a very, very neutral tasting herb. You wouldn't.
What would you compare it to if in the American palate right now?
Oh God! I mean, just
is it peppery? Is it spicy?
It looks like a grain, but it's not a grain.
Is it peppery?
Pardon?
Is it peppery? Is it pungent?
No, it's like, you know, it would, you know, maybe taste more like oatmeal than it would like pepper.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah, it's very mild.
Now, when
barley.
When you talk about this, you know, being used to cure cancers and stuff like that. Do you worry that you're going to get a phone call someday from somebody saying, hey, you're making claims of medical attributes of unproven drugs or anything like that?
No, because we carefully word everything.
Yeah.
For instance, in our book, we talk about this and we say the Chinese use this. You know, it was used in China to treat cancer, and, you know, so that takes us.
So go bother, go pick on them. Leave me alone.
Right, yeah. Cause that way we're absolved of any personal responsibility.
Because,
or
you know,
it's been used for centuries to treat whatever.
Right,
know.
Right. Because the poor cherry growers up in where, Michigan or Minnesota, I want to say, that they made those claims about cherries being heart healthy, and
yeah.
And next thing you know, the SEC, I would think it was the Securities and Exchange Commission or somebody like that, through and the FDA went after them, said they were making unproven drug claims. I think it gets a little ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's do this.
Drug claims.
Yeah, I know. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Warren Shear. You can get a copy of Ancient Wisdom, Modern Kitchen, at Amazon.com. Check it out. We'll be right back. Tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust Chemex.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All-American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
Get strong. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Hey, you looking to meet that special somebody? Go to Fitness Singles. Check it out. Supreme Radio has a banner ad for fitnesssingles.com. Click the banner ad, set up a free profile, and find yourself a new workout partner. My guest today is Warren Shear. We're talking about the book Ancient Wisdom, Modern Kitchen. One of the reasons I really like this book, and I hope that there's a lot of books like this to come out, is because I really feel that people still don't get it. I really don't. You know, my biggest frustration is when people say, well, I eat healthy. And they're under the misconception that they're eating healthy because they're eating the way the Western diet through the food pyramid, tells them to eat, which is loaded with starches and grains and, you know, high carbohydrate meals that are pro-inflammatory type foods. And, they scratch their head. They go, my God, I can't lose weight. And now I'm diabetic and I've been eating healthy all this time. It's like, no, you're not eating healthy. You know? I mean, would you agree with that statement, Warren?
No, I would agree 100%. I mean, I had a patient this morning, actually. That's exactly what she said. I mean, she's good. She's digestive problems, putting on weight, really worried about that, a girl in her early 20s. And in the intake, I eat healthy. You know, and so I asked her what she ate. And basically, it was exactly what you said, with the addition of having an incredible sweet tooth.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, hello. You know, this concept of eating healthy is this nebulous idea, which reflects the, you know, the so-called food pyramid. It really has to change.
You know, I really want to find a historian to come on the show, because I want to talk about some cultures and civilizations that have pretty much disappeared from the face of the earth, or, you know, or had a serious downturn near destruction. And I want to look at, and I'm willing to bet that we are doing everything today that prehistoric civilizations that have disappeared have done. And the one sin that's at the root of everything we do today is arrogance. The arrogance to believe that we know better than nature, that we can guide and circumvent the natural process, because we're humans, we're smart, we have brains, we can cure things. So we know better than nature.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And I also think we have technology to quicken that pace. You know, to hasten it. It's like someone was saying to me, this is a talk I gave with somebody a couple of months ago, that you want to eat foods from a plant, at least plant-derived, not foods that are made in a plant.
I like that.
Yeah. And, you know, basically we have technology which is really quickening this process, which maybe these more ancient civilizations didn't have, you know. So we're on a slippery downhill slope.
Well, but you know what? You know what it really comes down to, too. I was actually thinking about this morning when I was doing my cardio. When I'm getting ready to do some talks about reversing diabetes in some local gyms and stuff like that, and I've been working on some of my notes and talking points, and I want to tell people, when I use the word they, what I'm talking about is industry and government combined, and the reality is that they will give you anything that you want, whether it's good for you or not, as long as you're willing to pay for it. They will make it. And it doesn't matter whether it's going to kill you or not. In fact, if they see that what they are selling you is going to kill you, they will not only make more of it, but then they will make things to create a parasitic relationship to live off of you while you're sick, by supplying with your glucose meters and test strips and all you'll need to stay alive while you're broken.
Right.
And it's the reality is, it really comes back to us. You know, everybody talks about, you've got to take responsibility for your own health, but no one really does it. If you really want to take responsibility for your own health, and you're not just talking to sound like you're part of the current culture, then you have to cut out sugar entirely, except for the sugar that's a byproduct, like in pieces of fruit. Mm-hmm. And you have to cut out anything that has a plastic film that the corner has to be pulled back in order to cook it in a microwave.
Yeah, I mean,
You know, stop paying
lip
service.
Make your own food.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Just cook your own food.
Yeah, and then you also can't create an obstacle. You can't say to yourself, "Oh, now I have to create my own food." No, it doesn't have to be this big protracted thing. You can grill a couple chicken breasts and make some broccoli and you're done.
You know, I would say probably half the recipes in our book are made in, 25 minutes or less. Literally.
Yeah, and they have to be today, right?
Yeah, and that's, and it's great. It's user friendly, but really, one of the reasons why we wrote the book is exactly what you were just talking about. It's like is so that people can take some responsibility on a simple path to just create their own health, as opposed to basically buying into this corporate belief system.
And the reality is that until people stop buying it, you know, we vote with our dollars. I've said that a million times on this show. We vote with our dollars. Until people stop buying it, They don't care if it kills you. They don't care. And it's like, stop buying it. Stop buying the crap. Don't even bring it in the house. You know what? I'm just like everybody else. I sometimes lose willpower. And if something is in the house, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't even buy it. Don't even bring it in the house. Don't bring this stuff in the house. You know what I mean? Just bring fresh produce, fresh vegetables, grass-fed beef and bison, good, healthy, free-range chicken, fish that's caught out of the ocean like fish are supposed to be. Buy that stuff. Stock the house with that and be forced to eat that. And that's it. So anyway, how many recipes?
It sounds simple.
Yeah, it actually is simple. You know what? You know what the problem is? We become complacent. It's just, and you know what? People shoot themselves down before they even get started. They start making obstacles in their minds before they even take the, now I'm going to have to do this. And just do it. Like the Nike commercial used to say, just do it.
Yeah.
Stop buying the sugar. Stop buying the crap. Start eating right. And just do it and forget about it. And a year from now, you'll be a different person. You'll look in the mirror and you go, oh, my God, I can't believe how good I look.
Yeah.
How great I feel. How many recipes are actually in this book?
Roughly 150. It's a good beginning.
And these are not like vegan meals, right? These use
they
have animal protein and
yeah,
and vegetables.
Some of, we use lamb and beef, and of course we recommend grass fed in the book.
Yeah,
chicken, fish. Some of them are lots of vegetable dishes. Also, largely not much dairy products in the book.
Why do you think that is?
Largely dairy products are not a big part of East Asian. Diet, and that's the reason. Although, I think a little bit of dairy products, depending on making wise choices, can be healthy.
Well, and I'm also of the opinion that you have to eat the way your ancestors did. So, following the edicts of the Eastern cooking style may be good, but you can't abandon the way your genome evolved for thousands of years in the region of the world where your people came from. Your people
I tend to agree.
Yeah, I mean, you know what proves that point? I mean, I can say that, and somebody wants to argue it. There are polymorphisms that occur in each group of people that make pharmaceutical drugs act differently. That's why when they test a drug in India, it doesn't play out the same way when they test it in Europe.
Yeah.
So if drugs are being metabolized differently, then foods are being metabolized differently as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we view, of course, in Chinese medicine, we view as food and drugs as sort of like a part of the same spectrum, right?
And what's really interesting when we talk about food and being effective as a medicine, a lot of people don't realize this, but one of the most popular chemotherapies is something called cisplatin, which is a form of platinum.
Uh-huh.
And it was first discovered. It was actually, we didn't discover it. Some group of American Indians used something called May apple weed to cure certain diseases. And naturally, when, pharmaceutical companies or whoever it was that discovered it went and looked into what was in this May apple weed, they found this form of which is cisplatin today. And now that's a very popular chemotherapy. So think about that. The Indians chewed on that to cure certain diseases. We isolated some portion of it and synthesized it now, and we use it to cure certain diseases. So, this notion that, I just have a hard time with people because they can't get their head around the idea that food can be a powerful medicine. And then I point that every medicine that is powerful was first found in a food.
Right, right. Yeah. They're not separate.
No.
We have a pharmacological response to pharmaceuticals, we have a pharmacological response to foods. I mean, it should be simple to wrap your head around that.
And doctors don't talk about food at all. Have you ever been to a traditional medical orthodoxy physician, and has he ever mentioned to you about nutrition when discussing any type of ailments or diseases with you?
No, I mean, they're not trained. I mean, they're not trained in it. That's
now, isn't that part
of their training?
Isn't that suspicious? If way back in traditional Chinese medicine, which is thousands of years old, they knew that food was medicine. And even the relatively more modern Western medicine, which many believe Hippocrates is the father of, and he, one of his first edicts was first do no harm, and then the next one was let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. Isn't it suspicious that we fast forward to today and there isn't anything about nutrition being taught to modern physicians?
It's a remarkable blind spot, is all.
It's not. I don't think it's. I think it's purposeful. I don't think it's. I think it's a. I think that the. I think that those who created the current curriculum for doctors said, "Look, we need them to be our pimps. They need to push what we want them to push. We don't want people looking at food as medicine, because if they can cure themselves, then they don't need us."
Yeah. Well, I think there may be some truth to that. I mean, basically, it's. Yeah. What can I say?
That, no, right?
That's
what's
happening.
Yeah, I mean, doctors. I mean, and know what the funniest thing is? And I know some doctors that have seen the light. I know a couple really good physicians that have seen the light. And guess how they see the light? They get sick.
Yeah,
they get an
they
illness.
They have somebody in their family for sure.
Or they get ill, yeah. Or someone in their family gets ill.
Yeah.
And then all
yeah.
of a sudden, they're on the other side of that table, being told to take these medications that destroy your liver and your kidneys while they cure this ailment over here. And they go, gee, I don't want to do that to myself, or I don't want to do that to my family member. And then they start looking, and all of a sudden, their face drops when they realize the guy behind the curtain is a little guy. It's not the Wizard of Oz at all. And he doesn't know a damn thing, and he's about to make decisions that are going to affect your life. And then they get the religion. Then they find out. And then they become zealots. They become really good doctors, because then they take what's good about medicine, and they take what's good about nutrition, and they marry them together.
Right.
Yeah,
we have good docs here in San Diego, a couple at the Scripps Integrative Center.
Oh, yeah. Physicians. Fantastic. Fantastic over there. All right, let's take our last commercial break. You can get a copy of Ancient Wisdom, Modern Kitchen, by visiting Amazon.com. You know, you can never have too many good recipes, because things get very, very tiring after a while if you keep eating the same things over and over again. Go there and check out the book. We'll be right back. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Talking today with Warren Scheer about ancient wisdom, modern kitchen. I've been doing a lot of shows lately about food, and I've been doing it for a reason, because I really don't think enough is being said about it. We talk about it once in a while, and then we kind of go on our way, and we just keep eating the stuff that we normally eat. And it's important to start to change it up a little bit. And books like this will give you the ammunition to feed your families healthy foods that still taste good. Because, you know, I mean, Warren, I'm the kind of guy that I would eat cardboard if I thought that it was going to do something good for me. I've already divorced myself from the necessity of flavor. In fact, I've even started to think about flavor. I think flavor is relatively new phenomenon in the evolution of the human. Because back in Paleolithic human days, we were, chewing raw animals. I don't think anybody went, this spleen tastes really good.
It's funny.
I know, but now it's like all about flavor, you know. I think between the Romans and the Egyptians, I think the Egyptians really got that whole thing rolling because they were big lovers of sweets and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I like flavorful food, but I'm also the kind of person that would eat cardboard if I thought it was good for me.
Yeah, I mean,
I remember a lot. I don't know, it was about 20 years ago. I started eating, doing a microalgae drink every morning, you know, and it didn't taste good, but I thought it was good for me, and so, every morning I do it, no problem at all.
Yeah, I divorced myself from flavor, but the truth is, I do like things that taste good, and if you're cooking for a family, they may not appreciate eating cardboard. They may not get the message of why you're eating cardboard.
Yeah,
so it's got
really
to taste good.
To prepare good tasting food. I mean, it's really it's very, very simple. It's not. I think that it's just this. We've been so pampered by grocery store food. I think that that we just forget how easy it is to do it.
You know, I remember cutting sugar out of my diet back in 2002, 2003, and really, really, I mean, I wasn't even eating fruit back then. I just did it, and I did it for about 6 months. And I remember that the way things tasted changed.
Yeah.
Even plain oatmeal with nothing in it but boiling water had a really savory taste to me.
It comes to life. It really does. The minute you stop eating sugar, the natural flavors of foods just come to life. That's
I know.
My experience also.
It's kind of like when you were a kid and you went to a concert and you stood right up by the front of the stage, and when you left, even the loudest noise, you couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it deafens, sugar and sweeteners in general deafen the taste buds so that you're constantly searching for something stronger to satisfy you. And
I couldn't agree more. I hadn't heard it said exactly that way, but it's really true.
Yeah. Now, but the beauty of your style of cooking, because we all know that Eastern cooking is rich and lavished by herbs and spices. And these actual herbs and spices that you're using are some of the actual medicinal value herbs,
right?
Correct?
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, this can include, as you mentioned, cinnamon, ginger, garlic, cardamom, mint. The list is very, very long.
Now,
with medicinal qualities to them.
When you're reading the book and it gives you the recipes, does it also tell you what the potential medicinal value of this meal is?
Yeah, we have the medicinal value. Basically, we say what it is in terms of Chinese medicine, and there's an explanation in the book of Chinese medical theory in the beginning, and then it also says what kind of diseases you might use it for. You know, whether it's for ovarian cysts or high cholesterol or whatever it might be. And then in the beginning of the book is a list of 100 healthful Asian ingredients. And so with information about the herbs or foods, you know, so like mushrooms or or seaweed or whatever it might be, including some of the biomedical or research done on them, what they would indicate in terms of Chinese medicine, what they would treat. So a little informative information about 100 of the most useful Asian ingredients, which we find very useful.
I have a couple different dried kelp, plastic bags full of dry kelp that once in a while I eat. And the only reason why I eat it is because of the value in replenishing iodine in my body. What other What other value does kelp have besides that?
Besides tasting like cardboard?
No, I actually, you know what? See, there you go. I have dried seaweed, four different types of dried seaweed, and I break pieces off and put it in my mouth like beef jerky and chew it until it's soft, and then it disappears.
Yeah, no, I actually love seaweed. Very good to put in soups.
Yes.
I mean, it's very, very, we have dishes even for like scrambled eggs and seaweed. I mean, depending on the seaweed, wonderful stuff. Obviously, you know, they wrap sushi with the nori seaweed, which is a kelp. But, you know, very rich in
trace burdock minerals. Is good.
Not just iodine, but all the trace minerals.
So is that its potential value, seaweed, that all of the trace minerals, or is there some other medicinal value to seaweed?
Well, but, you know, interestingly enough, the Chinese also use the seaweeds to shrink tumors.
Is that right?
Once again. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you'll see formulas with both the fritillaria, seaweeds in there, and I've seen this. I've seen this work. You know, I've seen X-rays of tumors, and seen that put people on these on herbal formulas, or even food herbal formulas, and then watch the X-ray.
What period of time are we talking about that you've seen?
Oh, it would take months.
Yeah, right. How long is the book?
And of course, we ask people to avoid certain foods that might exacerbate the problem also. So.
What food? What do you think top three foods that people eat, consume to a great deal today based on the Western diet that they should be avoiding?
Well, I think, sugar.
Right.
Is
unanimous, right.
Down.
Right.
Yeah, refined sugar, hands down, is number one. That's a really good question. I think probably excess dairy products.
Mm-hmm.
Like just too much, not just ice cream, but cheese, the wrong kinds of cheeses and too much of it.
What's your opinion
A little bit is good and a lot is like really bad.
What's your opinion of raw unpasteurized milk?
Interestingly, I just gave a talk with an MD here in San Diego who's like really in favor of the raw unpasteurized milk. And then he educated me on it.
It's great stuff.
Think, what's that?
I said it's great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, he made a believer in me. I have a inherent lactose intolerance myself from birth, and I have a difficulty with, but he explained even that can be, sort of incrementally you can get over that, apparently.
Well, I'll take it a step further. I would challenge you, you used to be able to get it at Altadena. Altadena Dairy was one of the predecessors of raw and pasteurized milk until the state of California crushed them with a terrible lawsuit. If you can get your hands on some raw and pasteurized milk, I will challenge you. I go to San Diego quite often. I'll buy you lunch if this doesn't happen. You can drink raw and pasteurized milk and you will not see the effects of lactose intolerance because raw unpasteurized milk has lactase in it. That's why it turns into clobber when left out as opposed to spoiling and becoming rancid like pasteurized milk does.
I have heard this. This is actually what this doc said, the same thing.
People who have lactose intolerance thrive on raw and pasteurized milk. As a matter of fact, I recently published some pictures at my 50th birthday because I just turned 52 a couple weekends ago, and I was so lean at my 50th birthday, and I kept looking and thinking, what was I doing differently back then? I was drinking 5 gallons a week of raw unpasteurized milk. The high degree of conjugated linolenic acid and also the higher ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 actually allows you to get leaner when you drink that. The milk and beef are two of the foods that I feel like whenever you talk about them, you have to emphasize whether you're talking about grass-fed, hormone-free beef or you're talking about high inflammatory, disease-causing, corn-fed, grain-fed, soy-fed beef.
I think
you have to qualify when you're talking about milk to say that dairy is not a good idea for people would pertain to pasteurized dairy, in my humble opinion.
Absolutely. No, I agree, and I should have done that. And And really, that's really what I was implying, is that it's the excess of really the industrialized
yes.
product of industrialized food industry.
Oh yeah,
having too much of that.
And that comes full circle to this idea that we have to start cooking our own food again. We even have to start being responsible for producing some of our own food. I believe that there is a renaissance coming back. I feel that people are going to realize that working two jobs to pay the bills and eating crap food and dying 10 to 15 years sooner than you need to is not the plan. The plan is to lead a simpler life where we start to become more dependent on our own production. I like that whole sustainable living model. I think that it's coming. I think people are going to get – I think people are tired of being rats on wheels, never mind the fact that it's killing them on top of it.
Right. You're a rat on wheels. It's living a shorter life. And not just a shorter life, but it's all about also the quality of the life. I want to live a life with optimum health and vitality and passion.
Right.
Not just a vegetable in a wheelchair or you can live till you're 90 and as a couch potato.
Right.
That's not my idea of where I want to be.
No. And the interesting thing is if you look at native groups of people, if you look at Aboriginal tribes and stuff like that, you see 70 and 80 year old individuals that are still thriving and involved in life, and that's
right.
Not how it is here. When you're 70 or 80, you're in a wheelchair facing a wall in an institution here, pooping in a diaper.
And
to come full circle to why we're doing the interview, it comes down to nutrition. And nutrition is medicine. People need to start looking at food and revere it. They need to look at it like, oh my God, this is going to do something good for me, or this is going to do something bad for me. And you need to stop eating the stuff that you know is doing something bad for you and gravitate to the foods that you know is doing something good for you. And you can learn more about those foods, how to cook them so that they taste good on top of it. In the cookbook, Ancient Wisdom, Modern Kitchen, and you can get a copy. Where else can you get it besides Amazon?
Most Borders Books, Barnes & Noble, but Amazon for sure.
Okay, so you can get it there. And how much does it cost?
It is $19.95.
There you go.
Actually, a lot less than that on Amazon, I'll say that.
And you know what? And even if you had to pay $19.95 plus tax for it, and you only ended up with two recipes that you liked, people eat about 7 to 11 things a week. So if you find two recipes that you like, it's very well worth it. That's my attitude about cookbooks. Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's my attitude about cookbooks or anything having to do with the kitchen.
Right. You find
if you're going to buy a pot or a pan or whatever, and it's going to, it's like if you use it 3-4 times, it's paid for itself.
There you go. Okay, so go to amazon.com and get your copy of Ancient Wisdom, Modern Kitchen. Warren, thanks so much for being on Superhuman Radio.
It's been a pleasure.
Okay. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. We got a great show tomorrow. We're going to be talking about saturated fat is not the demon you think it is until you add, you ready? Refined carbohydrates. We'll talk to you tomorrow.